My three points today that I'll be talking about from John's Gospel are that the Holy Spirit convicts. The Holy Spirit does not have anything new to say in terms of God's revelation. And the Holy Spirit will declare the things that are to come. Let's pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be ever pleasing before you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, let me ask you, do you know the difference between an allegation and a conviction? Do you know the difference between an allegation and a conviction? Now, this is interesting because when I was a child, about 10 years old, I distinctly remember watching television and there was a politician of some kind involved in a big scandal. Shocked and horrified, I turned to my mother and I said these words. I said, "Mum, look, this politician, I can't believe he did that." Now, my mom, in her wisdom and grace and patience, she, you know, has her coffee and she puts her newspaper down slowly and looks over her coffee to me and says, "Oh, Peter, it's just an allegation. He hasn't been convicted." I turned around and said, "What's the difference?" And so we had the conversation about what is an allegation versus what is being convicted of an offense. In the same way, our text in John's Gospel comes at this very idea that the world is alleged to have sinned and the advocate will convict the world of its sin. He, the advocate, will prove the world to be guilty concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so the context of our gospel reading today is set at the end of Jesus' three-year ministry on earth. It is the night before his crucifixion, just before the high priestly prayer, and Judas' betrayal of Jesus, handing him over to be crucified by the Roman government. Jesus has been intently and intentionally spending time with his disciples, having much to say, but cannot say everything that he would like to say, for sorrow has filled their hearts. And they cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, Jesus does point them to the fact that he will send an advocate, a helper, to guide and comfort the disciples when Jesus goes. What's more is that this helper, when he comes and leads the disciples into all truth, this truth is that the advocate will convict the world, and he will vindicate the Son when he goes to the Father for the disciples' benefit. So let's begin. My first point, the Holy Spirit convicts. In our passage, Jesus is outlining the things he's outlining the future things that he will go to the Father, so that when the advocate may come and continue in the work that Jesus has been doing. Although sorrow has filled their hearts of the disciples, it is for their good that Jesus goes away. Now, this Greek word can also be translated as profitable. It is, in other words, it is for their benefit that Jesus goes away. Now, Jesus says he will send this advocate to them when he goes to the Father. This going to the Father and sending of the Spirit is in our creeds that we confess every week, and we'll confess this after the sermon. You know, in the Nicene Creed where we say, "And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son." Now, Jesus begins in this passage to tell us what it is this advocate will actually do. When he comes, Jesus says, the advocate will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the question for us as good Lutherans, as we ask, is what does this mean? Well, basically, God has appointed a day where he will judge the world of its offenses. Those who transgress his holy law, that is the Ten Commandments, it is as if in the past, before Christ came, there was a time of ignorance towards God. But this day has since gone, as Luke writes what Paul says in Acts. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. In other words, Christ is going to judge the world when he returns, but until then, he is sending the Spirit who will convict. And he will convict this world and prove them wrong, beyond any shadow of reasonable doubt that all people stand guilty before God concerning their sin. Now, this Greek word for convict is very interesting because it translates, I believe, in the Pew Bibles we have as prove, but it can also, I think the RSV is the word convince, but it also has the legal meaning and context for the word prosecute. The Holy Spirit will prosecute the world concerning their sin. In one sense, everyone's case has been cross-examined before God the judge, and the Holy Spirit is like a prosecutor, and he will prove that all are guilty before God because they have not believed in Christ the Son. Therefore, all are worthy of death because they've broken God's holy law. This simply just leaves all people guilty. Which brings me to my second point. The Holy Spirit does not have anything new to say. That is, he only says what Christ has said and will vindicate him. When the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks through prophets and has a prophetic role. Jesus says that in verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, that is, of himself. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you, the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, the advocate's role is clear, that he doesn't have anything new to say, that is, nothing of himself, and no new revelation of God. In fact, all that is Christ's, he will take that and declare it to you. This is something very prophetic. He hears, in fact, all that is Christ's, he will declare to you. Firstly, because Jesus is a prophet, God speaks through him, and also the Holy Spirit speaks only what Christ says. What Christ says and what the Holy Spirit says are both one in the same. There is no inconsistency between them. The triune God is perfectly consistent within himself. Now, this is fascinating and yet mysterious at the same time. The Holy Spirit speaks through the prophets of God, as our Nicene Creed states, and we confess, the Holy Spirit, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. This is what we confess in our church. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament spoke through prophets. Now, just to clarify, the biblical definition of a prophet, if you open up a Bible dictionary, is someone who is chosen by God to speak God's word to God's people. I'll say that again. Someone chosen by God to speak God's word to God's people. Now, what do you think of when you hear that? Sounds a lot like preaching, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like a pastor delivering God's word every Sunday. So when a pastor gets up to preach the word, you hear the pastor's voice, but at the same time, it is the voice of God through the preached word. As Luke 10:16 says, the one who hears you, hears me. And the one who rejects you, rejects me. And the one who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. In other words, prophets and pastors who speak God's word do not make up anything new.
but rather only proclaim what is in the Word of God. In the same way, the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth in our text, the Holy Spirit does not have anything new to say, but rather He proclaims what the Son has said. All that the Son has, the Spirit will declare to you. It is both one and the same living Word of God. There is no inconsistency, nothing new, but only the unchanging Word of God that is proclaimed. Now this brings me to my last point. The Holy Spirit will declare the things that are to come. Jesus says in the text, He, the Advocate, will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Well, what are these things that are to come? Well, there are several different well-thought-out scholarly opinions about this, but one thing is clear as Raymond Brown's commentary sheds light on this passage, and he makes it clear that, quote, the declaring of things to come is a privilege that the Lord, of the Lord, as in Yahweh, that false gods do not possess. I'll say that again. The declaring of things to come is a privilege of the Lord that false gods do not possess. This means that God the Spirit, the Advocate, the Comforter, knows all that is to come concerning future things. Not only Jesus' immediate death and resurrection, but also the pouring out of the Spirit in Acts 2, the dramatic growth of the church. The Holy Spirit knows these things. Moreover, God is the one who actually challenges anyone in this world to declare the future. And this is exactly what we find when we look at Isaiah the prophet, when God spoke to the people of Israel long ago. It says in Isaiah 44, verses 7 and 8, he reads these words, "Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me. Since I appointed an ancient people, let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it to you? And you are my witnesses. And is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any." In other words, the Holy Spirit will declare future things to God's people. But it is not new revelation, not new declarations. It is all that Christ has already said, written in the Word of God. So in closing, what does this mean for us today? Well, if you don't know Christ, or you have not been baptized, to put it more explicitly, the Holy Spirit, as you stand, declares you guilty before the Father through Christ for not believing in His Son and rejecting the good news of His death and resurrection for your sins. The Holy Spirit has successfully prosecuted you regarding your sin and unbelief. There is no longer an allegation against you, but rather your sin has been proven. You are now convicted and declared guilty, and judgment awaits. The sentencing awaits you. You stand with a just verdict that you are guilty with the, as our text says, with the ruler of this world, that is the devil, who is already judged. And this is not good news. In fact, it's terrible news. It is bad news. However, Christ says that it is to your advantage that He goes away. Because Jesus went to the Father, He sends the Spirit to convict you so that you may repent and believe in His Son and in what He has done for you. If you believe and are baptized, you will receive the Holy Spirit, as Peter stands up and declares in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. If you believe in Christ, the advocate, he, the advocate, the comforter, will guide you. And he will lead you into all truth about him. When you believe by faith in Jesus, he is the one, although was righteous and holy, but for your sake, he becomes the convicted one for you. And you, the convicted one, the prosecuted one, by faith through Christ's righteousness, through his death, you now become the righteous one. It is the great swap takes place. And now that you are righteous, you are accepted by the Father and declared justified by the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. The Spirit will take what is Christ's and declare it to you, as he is doing even now in this sermon. The Spirit draws you through the gospel and is pointing you to your crucified Lord, pointing to the cross and saying, see, here, the Son has died for you. And to the baptism font, he points. The Holy Spirit is pointing. And he says, see here, this is where Christ has washed, he washes you clean of your sin and forgives you all your sin. And to the Lord's Supper, he points to the altar and he says, see here, this is where Christ's body and blood is given to you, which you receive by faith for the forgiveness of your sins. Here, your sins are forgiven in Christ's name by the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father. So come to the baptism font in repentance to be washed clean of your sin. Come before the Lord and his word, both preached and written, to receive the Holy Spirit through these means of grace, where you can be sure you are no longer convicted of sin, but declared righteous by faith in his name. Amen.